And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. This is now the sixth episode that we have Pastor Howard with us, and we have been doing a systematic study of the Holy Spirit from the Bible. Today we will talk about spiritual gifts, so start talking about spiritual gifts, and as we prepare for that, I want to share one thing with you. I was only 14 years old when I was converted, and I was converted in a small church, ethnic church that up in Canada, and I found out that I read the Bible, and what was really interesting to me is that I expected the Bible to be a ceremonious book with a lot of recipes, but when I read it, what I read instead was a book that spoke to me, that was very practical, that was very straightforward, that talked to my intelligence and not some sort of ceremonies. And one of the things that I came across was this thought and the place where it writes about the Holy Spirit and its gifts. And so I was curious about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as I started going to church and started attending church, I found out what those gifts are, and I started desiring them. And I wanted to have them, but I had none. And I was praying for them, but I had none. And then I saw what they did, or what the misuse of the gifts did in a church. And I said, Lord, I don't want to have any gifts. And I heard this very quiet voice say to me, now you're getting ready. For another 7 years, I had no gifts, nothing. I was in Canada, I lived there. I went to every service, I was doing all the right things. And what I found out is I started going to missions over to Serbia and other places, which is what I felt was my calling, and I think it is. And as soon as we landed in Serbia, there were five of us that were going on a mission team. There were also five passengers whose luggage was missing. Can you imagine who are the five? It was us. And as we went to churches, I mean, we didn't have our shavers with us. We didn't have, I was trying to grow a beard and all these things I didn't want to do, but just we had only one change of clothing because our luggage didn't come. And as I went to church, after church, I found out the spiritual gifts started working, and nobody needed to teach me how to use it. It was quite interesting how they work. And it was quite interesting that I just knew how to use it. And I remember there was a lady there in the church, and I was ministering that morning. And the Holy Spirit showed me and said, go pray for her. And so I went and I prayed with her. I got the pastor and others with me. I didn't know who this person was. And the Lord gave me a word, and the word was, I have a double portion of blessing for you. And she started crying, and I thought, well, why are you crying? That's, you know, I have heard people use that in church, and I have been rather sometimes critical of how easily we use the spiritual gifts and how easily we say that the Lord says something, and maybe we're not so sure. But here I was sure. And she was crying, and then after the service, I found out that that lady was the pastor's wife. And that morning, she said, Lord, I don't want to serve you anymore. And this was a dilemma that she was dealing with for some time. And she said, if you really want me to serve you, you have to tell, give me. And she used exactly the same words, because I spoke to her in her language. The exactly same words, the double portion of blessing. And those are the words the Lord gave me to speak. And so next service we went to, we were wondering whether we should go there. And we did. You know, I mean, we were getting stinky, and we were getting... The same thing happened. Spiritual gifts started working. And we had so many people get converted. They told us that this was never seen before. We had three rows deep outside the window because they could not fit into the building. And so I saw spiritual gifts work as I never seen them before. And so I want to share with you that everything that Pastor Howard shares with us today agrees with what I was taught directly. And later on, I would listen and read, and a lot of it agreed about what I experienced that day directly from God. I spoke to Pastor Howard before, and I know what he's going to share, and I can tell you, this agrees completely with the experience I had that God taught me directly. No textbook, no book or somebody's notes, but something that God taught me because I didn't know any better. I'd like to finish with this thought, and that is, I had once where the Lord was using us in service up in Canada, and a brother came and said, man, you know, brother, thank you so much. God never used anybody like that or something like that. He was, I think, flattering me. And what I said to him is, I said, thank God. I said, you know that donkey in the Bible, in the Old Testament? He said, yes. I said, that donkey spoke a more pure word than I did tonight, because the donkey cannot speak. And anything the donkey spoke, he spoke from God. And so I would like to encourage you, if you're looking or you have spiritual gifts, remember the purest word that came from a donkey, because a donkey cannot speak. Let us not be afraid to be who we are and to admit that sometimes we may know only as much as a donkey, because that donkey gave the most perfect word, because the donkey spoke a human language. If you want to read more about this story, you're welcome to read it in Numbers 22, chapter 22, verse 27, 28. This is a story of Balaam, who went over and on the actions or on the request of the king, he actually decided to disobey what God told him originally. And as he went over, the donkey started to talk to him in a human voice. Before we get to the teaching, let us listen to Break Every Chain by Vega Group. Here we go.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising. There's an army
I have asked Pastor Howard to lead us through these studies on the Holy Spirit. I can assure you from having known Pastor Howard for some time that he definitely not only knows the subject matter, but also lives it. And that is very important. I think it's very important to understand that we need to hear from somebody who actually is walking the life of a Christian warrior who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, I have known Pastor Howard for some time now, and I can assure you that he definitely lives that life. Pastor Howard, go ahead.
We're going to continue now in our study of the Holy Spirit, which is a powerfully important, integral part of our walk with the Lord, to know the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we looked at the Holy Spirit as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not as a force, but as a person, God, the Holy Spirit. Then we've just looked at the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and all the facets of that love, joy and peace and long-suffering. And now we're going to look on spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible, that's the chapter that we will be dealing with tonight and perhaps in a few more weeks, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. These are young Christians. These are people who have just, in the first century, have come to found Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. So the gifts of the Spirit are outlined in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. There is some excellent material that you can find. There's a book by a person called Duffield and Van Cleve, Foundations on Pentecostal Theology, published by Life Bible College, which is an excellent book. We're going to look at these gifts in three separate ways. We've got the revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. They supernaturally reveal something, the revelation gifts. Then the power gifts, faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing. They supernaturally do something, they're power gifts. And then inspirational gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. They supernaturally say something. I'm so glad that in every area of doctrine we have the authority of the Bible. So these spiritual gifts do three things. They supernaturally reveal, they supernaturally do, and they supernaturally say into our lives. Particularly in the area of gifts and manifestations of the Spirit, we need clear scriptural guidelines. If it's in the Word, I'm happy. If I can't find it in the Word, I've got a problem. I've lived long enough to see many so-called manifestations of the Spirit, but sadly, I would say oftentimes, sincere people are carried away by emotional experience, which have no basis in Scripture. Let me say that. I've lived as a Christian well over 70 years. I've lived long enough to see many manifestations of the Spirit, but sadly, many times, it's sincere people carried away by emotional experience that have no basis in Scripture. We have to have our basis in the Word of God. So spiritual gifts are God's equipping to get the job done. God's equipping to get the job done. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, "Wait, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." How on earth could they do the job of building the church without the power of the Holy Spirit? So this is a big subject. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I do believe there's has been and still is a lot of ignorance and a lack of sound Bible teaching. One of the dangers is that we can desire spiritual gifts for the wrong reasons, sometimes even because of an interest in the spectacular. Remember, the supernatural is not always the spectacular. I would say that from my own personal experience over many years of loving and serving the Lord, that differing gifts can be in operation, and yet we fail to recognize them because it's not spectacular. I would dare to say that the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit happen a lot more than we think. Spiritual gifts are not for charismatics to get their kicks and to feel good, but for the work of the ministry. I like what David Watson said about this. The answer to misuse is not disuse, but right use. Revelation gifts we'll look at first. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Revelation gifts are the vehicles God uses to supernaturally reveal to his church and to his people things they would not know about in the natural. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Obviously, there's a relationship between wisdom and knowledge. I'm sure we've all heard about the absent-minded professor, a mind crammed full of knowledge, but not the slightest idea how life works. Wisdom and knowledge. God has all wisdom and all knowledge, and is therefore able to reveal a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to his servants. God is looking for people through whom he can demonstrate his power, his wisdom, and his knowledge. Wisdom is the power to rightly use knowledge. Let me say that again. Wisdom is the power to rightly use knowledge. Knowledge is to do with facts. Wisdom is what to do with those facts. Can I say that I believe it's not the gift of knowledge, but a word of knowledge. Not the gift of wisdom, but a word of wisdom. When you call your attorney, does he give you all his knowledge and all his wisdom? Of course not. Otherwise, you'd become an attorney and never need him again. No, he gives you a word, a fragment of his knowledge and wisdom for your temporary need. I believe that's what we're talking about here. A divinely granted flash of revelation concerning things which were hopelessly hidden from the senses and mind of man. It may be a revelation of the heart of man, his nature and thoughts. Maybe a revelation of the whereabouts or the doings of man. Wonderful scripture here in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." What about Ananias and Sapphira? Their sin exposed to Peter. Powerful story. Deception uncovered by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can imagine there are many who have personally experienced this gifting. I know there have been times in my life when God has revealed things to me that could have only come from him. Also want to share another aspect of these gifts, of a word of wisdom and knowledge, that's sometimes overlooked and often frowned upon in some circles. And that is, these gifts are manifest during the anointed preaching and teaching of the word. Acts 6:10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. 1 Corinthians 2:3, when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm sure that in our church here at Calvary Chapel, we would agree that the teaching and the preaching of the word is so vitally important to the body of Christ. Natural ability is not enough to teach and to preach. We might have all the college degrees and university education, but that won't help us to reach the hearts and lives of men and women. Should it not therefore be endowed with spiritual gifts? Should not teaching and preaching be endowed with spiritual gifts? Should they not be anointed just as much as miracle workers? Cannot through the word of God, that word of wisdom and word of knowledge, be exercised and manifest as the Spirit of God is at work? I do believe that these giftings of the word of knowledge and word of wisdom operative when we're listening to the anointed teaching of the word of God. Let me say that it's a supernatural work of the Spirit every time you learn something from God. So to sum up, I do believe the Lord is able to reveal things to his servants that they could never know in the natural order of things. But I also believe that the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is powerfully imparted through the preaching and teaching of the word. You can be sure that when your eyes are open to the truths that were previously hidden, and there's a burning in your heart for the things of God, that you are witnessing a manifestation of the Spirit, a shining forth of the wisdom, the knowledge and the power and the glory of God. So let's look at discerning of spirits, which is distinguishing between spirits. What's a forgery? Well, a forgery is one that looks like the original. And how do I get it used? I slip it in with a lot of others. If I was forging $100 bills, £100 notes, I put one or two in with the good. They get slipped in because they get covered up quickly. how vitally important it is that we're discerning between truth and error. That's the bottom line. If it's not truth, however plausible it sounds, however interesting it appears, it's not in line with Scripture, it's error. Never forget that two of Satan's most successful strategies are to accuse and to deceive. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we see that the discerning of spirits is divine impartation of light to uncover darkness. The eye of the Spirit to see right through Satan's deceptions, to discern when he is at work. Therefore, to enable us to combat Satan in this area, God has given us the ability to distinguish between spirits. It's called discernment. So let's firstly look at what it's not. Discernment is not a critical attitude, a critical spirit, not even a keen insight, an intuition. It's seeing into the spiritual realm. Remember, we're dealing with the world rulers of darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. By faith and by the gifting of the Spirit are enabled to discern satanic activity. In dealing with this subject, it's important to know that it's not down to personal experience. I personally have had little, some, yes, but little experience in dealing with evil spirits. So how can I teach with any authority on this subject? Well, it's because we must always refer to the Bible, to God's Word, for our true understanding of biblical demonology. Always. Never from experience. Can you believe that people would use their own personal experiences to substantiate their claims to knowledge, actually basing their knowledge of demons and evil spirits on their experience? Experience should never, ever become criteria for truth. The New Age movement embraces all kinds of religious experiences and spiritual experiences as a basis for truth. Can you see how it opens the door for all kinds of deception and confusion? Because people have all kinds of experiences. We must never ever leave the authority of God's Word. God has graciously given us spiritual gifts, the discernment to unmask deception and error. Don't mess with black magic or spiritualism, Ouija boards or the occult. God warns very strongly against witchcraft, mediums, palm reading, tarot cards, astrology. Don't open yourself up to any power of darkness. Walk in the light. Don't become ensnared with satanic counterfeit and deception. The baptism of the Holy Spirit increases the believer's resistance. And even through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, we're able to discern the enemy's activities. The discernment of spirits, seeing into the spiritual realm, to discern satanic activity, uncovering and exposing the lies and deceptions of Satan.
Pastor Howard, thank you for that, sharing that with us. As we are approaching the end of this half an hour time slot, I'm going to ask everybody who has listened to it, this is tremendous teaching, this is tremendous knowledge. Go ahead, go to the Corinthians, study this word, understand it, because there is much benefit to understanding and knowing the spiritual gifts, but much danger to it. Many people try to misuse it and try to misrepresent things, or sometimes not even intentionally. So it is very, very important that we know what the Word of God says. Even as the song says, "Open my eyes, O Lord," I think it is also very important for us to ask God to open our eyes and understand about spiritual gifts, understand about how God wants us to use those gifts. God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.